clouds open, the moon appears, the still lake reflects it perfectly. Welcome to the Shamak Wealth Call for April 2nd, 2008. In tonight's call, we're going to be reviewing the three full moons of spring. And the way the calendar lays out this year, we're going to kind of have four. We're going to talk about the budding trees moon, which technically has passed. And this year we have two frogs returns moons. So that happens every once in a while, kind of like you get blue moons. Sometimes you have two full moons that come during the same period of the calendar, the way the calendar happens to be laid out. And so that's kind of cool. We get extra frogs. We get a tadpole moon and a frog moon. And we'll talk about some of that. And then the third moon of spring is the corn planting moon. And so we'll talk about those energies of the budding trees moon, the frogs return moon, and the corn planting moon. And we'll talk about the process of creating the transition from winter into spring, and then also look at what happens when spring becomes summer and how this whole cycle of reckoning back to the natural cycles feeds back into our lives and affects us. And one of the reasons for the way I do the lunar reflections, easing, and these calls is to reconnect to the cycles of the earth, which means the seasons and the moons. The physical budding trees, I've got flowering trees in my backyard right now, even though we had snow a couple of days ago. Very rare for Seattle. But I've got white blossoms and white snow last week. So we'll talk about this process, and then by the time we get to corn planting moon, the lunar cycles and the annual cycle will kind of be in sync with each other again. And we'll be back into kind of a more normal cycle. This winter and early spring has been quite strange up until recently. The moons were way early. We had the way the cycles go. You start the new calendar at solstice. And then we took the dates out of Sun Bear's medicine wheel book. And so we use his dates kind of like you do with the zodiac of when is it Cancer and Leo and all that. So we have certain dates for each of the moons, and when the full moon comes during that date period, we use that theme. And so there's nothing particularly magical about that, but the cycles do seem to affect. And certainly the feeling, the time of year that I'm talking about is all very real. The names we choose is a bit random, like all human endeavors. So the cycles are very real. And reconnecting to the natural cycles, even if you live in a major city and hardly know whether it's summer or winter, reconnecting with a full moon. And here in Seattle, it's going to be a clear night, so we're going to have a nice, beautiful full moon soon. Although, of course, it's new moon right now, so we'll have starlight tonight. But it's one of the first clear days we've had in months. So spring must be coming. So let's see, with that little bit of an introduction, is there anybody on the phone call tonight? Nope? Good. Kind of a late introduction, so folks will be in on the recordings. I didn't post the call till this afternoon, so I'm not too surprised. But we're doing the review of the three moons so that we can set the tone for the coming 3 months. And so for the coming three moons, there's going to be Frog's Return Moon in a couple of weeks. And when we have this double Frog's Return Moon, the way we're going to think of it is in April, this first Frog's Return is when the energy is transitioning from under the earth and into the mud, into the lakes. The first frog's returns is when the tadpoles return. And then when we get the second frog's return in May, That'll be the time when the tadpoles have turned into frogs and the frogs are leaping away. And then finally in June, the third moon of the summer or the spring is equinox. Solstice. June solstice. And so there we'll do the three-day weekend, and that full moon is the corn planting moon. So for those of us in the West, we thought we got a good start on the year back on January 1st when we did our New Year's resolutions. But by using a more traditional calendar, we spent all that time in January and February from solstice until a few weeks ago. Solstice until equinox is technically winter. And we spent those energies deep within the earth, doing the earth renewal, rest and cleansing, and finally the budding trees moon. And so during that period, we were collecting our energies. And the imagery we used for the earth is that during earth renewal moon, the end of December, the earth energies were deep within the earth during earth renewal moon. The energies are way in the core, and there's hardly any warmth left on the surface. And then during rest and cleansing, the warmth rises a little higher. And if you journey down deep enough into the soil, you can begin to feel the warmth and use that rising warmth, which has entered the bedrock, to do your own rest and cleansing, because the earth has renewed itself, so now it can begin sharing energy with the rest of us. But that energy is still quite deep in the rocks. Then when we get the budding trees moon, or when we get to the third moon of winter, which it seems to me I've got the wrong name. It's not the budding trees moon. The third moon of winter. Earth renewal, rest and cleansing, big winds moon. There we go. The third moon of winter is the big winds moon. And by the time you get to the big winds moon, that's when the energy has reached the soil and the earth energies are available under the earth. So the trees can begin tapping into that earth energy and the plants. And then you get to budding trees moon. And that's when that energy goes into the plants, not rises above the soil, into the air with the first flowers of spring. So with each passing moon since solstice, the energy has been rising from the core of the earth, initially deep within the core, then rising up to the bedrock, then rising up to the soil, and then the plants and trees can pull the energy up from the soil and bring it into the air. And so the flowering, the budding trees moon, is the time when that earth energy is now available for us to see and for us to recognize as becoming available. And having passed equinox, we're now finally into the spring. And so the exercise we did at the equinox workshop was planting the seeds of your becoming. So we spent weeks and weeks and months preparing the soil for the garden of your becoming, for the field of your future. And we spent a lot of time protecting that garden. We put a box of light around it. We set a grounding cord. We brought the stars down from the heavens to mix with the soil to create a warm compost and mulch. So we spent a lot of time preparing the soils, and now with the passing of equinox, we have planted our own seeds and we have let them rest. And so they're germinating under the soil. So the process of spring is to allow those early seeds that we planted to germinate, to continue to tend the soil. And as the first plants come up, we want to weed them. So that's the kind of analogy. And then when we get to corn planting is when we plant the major crops. So it isn't till June, May and June, that we really put in the heavy crops that we're going to harvest and tend over the summer and harvest in the fall. so the big cash crops come later. Right now, what's coming up are the flowers and the berries, and the berries come later, but the flowers and pretty things, flowers and weeds are the first things that come up in the soil at the beginning of the spring. And some of those we'll allow to grow, and some of those we will pull and weed. So the process of spring, what does this analogy mean? I'm talking about gardening here. What does this mean for us? This is about practical changing our lives, shifting our energy so that we can have a better place to live. We can have the abundance we need. We can be in a position to take care of ourselves and our families and those who come to us in need. So what does this mean practically? Well, the practical meaning of all this stuff is that those energy cycles are there. It's very hard to do a lot of energy during the winter, whether you live in the far north latitudes and it's physically dark and cold, or whether you live in more mid-latitudes where you really could go out and do stuff and then it's not all that dark. But the energies are dim. And everybody needs to recharge. So even if you live on the equator, the energy's there. If you're really on the equator, like in Hawaii, the energies are different. You don't quite get the seasonal energies. But everybody needs a time to rest. So you might as well choose December to be your time to rest. And if you live in a northern latitude, then you notice that December is absolutely the best time to sync up with the quiet energies. If you're in the southern hemisphere, you'd of course flip it, and December would be midsummer, and you would use June as your quiet time. So you reflect the energies of the earth, and so by doing so, you are now surfing with the waves as opposed to swimming upstream, to continue to mix many metaphors and not explain myself. But the idea is that we're using this metaphor of the plants and the gardening to reflect real energetic processes that are going on. And the real beauty of becoming an energy worker, the real beauty of becoming aware of the world around you is just that, being able to reflect what's going on around you. So this is one of those things where I talk about, people ask Don Manuel, you know, how do you do the, do you have to do the ceremonies exactly? And he said, you have to do them exactly until you can walk on water. So the, what that means in this case is that we follow the moons and we follow the names and we follow the seasons until we have sufficiently subtle awareness of the earth energies around us, that we don't need to ask whether it's December or June. We can just feel the energy in the trees and the earth and know whether the earth is ready for us to make big plans and move forward, or whether we should be resting, whether the land is tired or whether the land is exuberant. Because you go to places where there's a lot of pollution or a clear cut or any number of things could have happened to make a patch of land really tired. And so, ultimately, we're using the seasons and the names of the moons that, after all, were invented by some guy back in the 70s trying to reinvent his elder's medicine wheel. He was guided by spirit, but still, it was some person was reinventing an old tradition. And he made up some names, and he picked some dates. So we're using this artificial structure to remind you that the real energies are out there. And in time, for those of you who have come to Despacho, I talk about weaving the energies in Despacho. And those of you who come often have seen that sometimes, occasionally, I'll do a very different Despacho. When I first learned that ceremony, there were detailed instructions of exactly what kinds of beans and lentils to use and what each one meant and when you put them in. And I did it that way for a long time. And then eventually I understood the energies well enough that now I'm just weaving the energy. I'm using the same myth. I'm using the same guidelines. But fundamentally, I'm weaving energy for the group and weaving energy for you, for those of you on the call, for those of you who are members of my IU. My job is to tend to the energies that are surrounding us all. And so similarly, we use this structure of the seasons to help you learn to hear what's going on all around you. For those of you who were at the workshop a couple of weeks ago, we went out and we sat next to trees and we listened to the trees and we listened to the grass. And then we kind of connected to the trees. And then we used our three stones to really enhance that connection with the trees. So again, the trees have been speaking to us. That was, we were on the edge of a parking lot in the middle of town, you know, on the edge of an asphalt parking lot. And one of the main comments that the people came up with was that the trees said, here I am, I'm a tree, and I'm witnessing this parking lot. And the discovery was that even though the trees were in the middle of the city, they were still trees. They were still connected to the forest, and they still provided the wisdom of the trees, even though they were just pine trees at the edge of a parking lot in the middle of a city. That wisdom was still there and still very much available. While we were listening to the horns honking and the planes flying over and all the sounds of the city, when you stopped and listened, especially with the aid of the stones and the preparation work we had done, you could hear the trees. You could understand what they understood. And that's the purpose of these calls. That's the purpose of my work, is to give you the opportunity to see what the eyes cannot see and to hear what is going on all around you. And one of the things that's going on all around us is the natural cycle of the seasons and the moons. And so I draw attention to that, and we use that as a learning tool to remind us that however much technology we have, however much stuff and things we have around us, we're still animals living on a living earth. And almost certainly the most important things about our lives will have nothing to do with our homes and our bank accounts and our retirement funds and all the stuff that we spend almost all of our time in the modern world worrying about. And so on these calls and in this work, I'm helping open a door to remember what is probably, ultimately, the most important part of our lives, and that is being able to see and share in the life around us. And spring is a wonderful time to do this exercise, because in winter, we connect to the earth energies by noticing the fact that they're gone, and we can't connect to them, not the way we used to. In the spring, and as I said, in the physical world, that's starting about now. Plenty of trees are budding. There are little wildflowers out. And if you're out in the country, I'll bet there's some peepers available soon. And so the frogs really have returned at the lower altitudes at any rate. And so as the riotous energy and abundance of spring begins to overtake us, and here in the Pacific Northwest, it's been a particularly long winter. We had a lot of snow for Seattle. Usually we get a couple of days of snow once or twice a year. And we had four or five snow events. And as I said, the last one was just a couple of weeks ago. So it's been a particularly long, cold winter here. And so as spring comes, the contrast is going to be amazing. And so the first Frog's Return moon is about that energy of noticing that that energy has risen above the soil. It's in the air now. You can smell the flowers. You can see the animals beginning to stir. If you get to go out to the country, when I was a kid, I used to play in bayous and ponds, and I played with tadpoles. I tried to raise tadpoles. I captured a few billion tadpoles and put them in an aquarium and tried to raise frogs to feed my snakes. The experiment didn't work quite so well, but I played with lots of tadpoles and watched them turn into frogs and played with frogs, and the snakes usually got to eat hamburger, and my frog raising days didn't seem to work so well. But we caught frogs and fed the snakes wild frogs. So I used to play with these things as a young boy, as young boys will, back in Texas. I used to go be hip-deep in mud in the bayou, playing with crawdads and frogs and tadpoles and snakes. And one of the coolest events was when I first started studying shamanism. I, of course, like most of us, got away from all of that, and maybe I did a little hiking, but I hadn't been hip deep in mud in a long time. And certainly hadn't had that wonder and joy and oneness with mud and earth and life in a long, long time. And 5-6 years ago now, when I first started shamanism, my very first class in shamanism, we were told to bring 3 rocks to our first class. And we weren't really told why. We were just told, go find 3 rocks, which is the exercise I give to most of my clients. Go find 3 stones. So we brought them to our first shaman class, and most of us really didn't know what to expect, and we were all there excited on our first day. And after a few hours of kind of introductory lecture, Mary Blankenship, the teacher, elder shaman, said, okay, now get out your 3 rocks. And this 50-year-old woman said, well, I've got 2 rocks and a stick. Is that okay? I knew I had found the right place. When I was in a room full of mostly older women and they were worried about rocks and sticks and how precious they were, I had rekindled the fires of my youth and I haven't looked back. And so spring is a time when those fires can be lit. When we were doing winter, the winter work, we were reconnecting to our passions, and we were reconnecting to our passions in a way that was safe because we knew the fires wouldn't get out of control. Because we were in such a quiet, meditative time, you could reconnect to the most wild passions, and that was pretty okay. But now it's spring, but now we've kind of tamped down those passions and we've buried them under the soil. So those passions are the compost that our seeds are going to be nourished by. In the spring, it's now about connecting into others' passion. The passions of the flowers, the passions of the frogs and the tadpoles and the squirrels. Because now, first frog's returns moon, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, it'll be about the tadpole energy. There will be life, but you have to look under the water. You have to look under the mud to see the life of the minnows and the tadpoles and the newts and the early life that comes out in early spring. The small little mountain flowers and just the buds on the trees, not necessarily a lot of leaves yet. I've got flowers on my trees, but no leaves. Even the pine trees haven't put out a lot of needles, new needles yet. So it's very early life, but it's there. Second frogs return, that's when the tadpoles have turned into frogs and they can leap out of the lake and go hopping across the land. The squirrels would have baby squirrels and the baby squirrels would be venturing out of their burrows and hopping along the tree branches. They probably won't be old enough to come down to the ground yet, but they'll be tentatively leaving the squirrel's nest and exploring the world. And so we can tap into that energy, even if we never make it out to the country or very often to a park. Even if we just notice as we walk down the city streets, there are pigeons and baby birds that we kind of notice. This life force energy is out there for us. It's available to us. And we can connect to it, whether we get the chance to go out into the woods and be a part of it or not. And just like the good news is in the shamanism that I teach, you don't have to do actually life-threatening initiation rites to prove that you're dedicated enough to be a shaman. You don't have to become hip-deep in mud and catching crawdads with your bare hands to reconnect with the life force of the earth. You can simply become aware of it, just as we're going to do in a journey in a moment. Without leaving your chair, you can gain sufficient sensitivity to know that life is returning to the forest and the mountains. No matter how far away that forest and the mountains are from you, you will be able to journey into nature and experience the returning energy. The worms are rising to the top of the soil. The turtles are unburying themselves. The wildflowers are blooming and rising. The weeds are growing. All of those life force energies are coming. And then when we get to corn planting moon, the moon of the summer solstice. So summer solstice is June 21st. And for most of us, that's just the beginning of the summer. But for the solar calendar, that's actually the midpoint of the year. The summer solstice, the day and night, it's the longest day of the year, and the actual heat comes later in August and September, but the actual maximum solar input is actually on June 22nd. And we can tap into that energy. So corn planting moon, which is the solstice moon, is about we're well enough along and enough of the things we have planted, we can tell the difference between the weeds and the fruit, the weeds, and the corn, and the wheat. So again, the analogy, what I mean by this in the real world, is that we've been laying plans. What are we going to do this year? How are we going to, you know, for winter it was all about how are we going to let last year go, and what might we do this year when we've got time? Well, now we have the time. We have the energy. The sun is back. We've done all of our quiet meditation, and it's time to start getting stuff done. Time to start making concrete plans and beginning to execute on those plans. So you're going to begin making activities. You're planning your summer vacation. You're planning what the kids are going to do for the summer. You're planning where you're going to go. You're planning your work activities. You know, in the summer is a time when people do lots of conferences and traveling. And just notice, I mean, people try and do stuff during the winter, but you can tell there's a different energy, even if you're going to conferences in December. The energy is very different than the trade shows that go on in spring and summer. So spring and summer is the time to begin taking action. And I'm talking about in the physical world. Are you going to clean your house? Spring cleaning. Physically cleaning up your house and cleaning out your garage and clearing your clutter. Planning your work activities. Planning your summer activities. All that stuff is what we're going to be doing. That's the frog's return energy. The time when your energies percolate out of your body and jump into action. And then, long about corn planting moon, that's when we take a look at our plans have taken enough shape that we can begin to see pretty clearly what's going to work and what's not going to work. One of the military adages is always reinforce success and never reinforce failure. Don't like military adages too much, but I've done a lot of military history, and they know a few things because it was life and death. And so one of the rules is you back up successes, and if things really aren't working, you take a long, hard look before you decide whether what you need to do is grit your teeth and keep pushing, or whether what you need to do is say, you know, that's not going to work this year. Maybe I'll try next year, or maybe I'll put it on the back burner and see if something changes. So corn planting moon, the third moon of spring, is about weeding the garden, culling the fields, and clearing the deck so that when you get into that hyperactivity of the summer, you're working on things that are being successful. You're not pulling boat anchors. You're not fighting plans that really aren't going to happen this year. So that's corn planting moon, and that's another reason why we do the three-day workshop at the solstice, summer solstice, and corn planting moon, because there's a lot of work to do there. It's about reassessing 6 months of preparation and planning and organization so that you can then, in 3 or 4 months of execution during the summer and early fall, really make things happen. So corn planting moon is a time of assessment and clearing and planning and then taking major league action during the rest of the summer and early fall. So that's corn planting moon in May in the three-day workshop there. And one of the key ceremonies we'll do there is called the Kaiwak Rites, which has to do with learning to see what the eyes cannot see. It's blending your heart vision with your spirit vision. And we'll talk more about that as we go, but that's one of the key rites in the workshop we just completed, the two-day workshop we just completed. We did the Bands of Power, which was about clarifying who you are and separating you from the things around you. At Solstice, we focus on spirit vision and creating a balanced spirit vision. It's relatively easy to unlock your spirit vision. Many people can do it. If you do Reiki or Zen meditation or almost any exercise, you can dramatically enhance your spirit vision. But very often, that's not balanced vision. What I learned from the elders from Peru, the ceremony they created and gave to me, it's called the Kaiwak Rites, where we connect up heart vision, moon eye, from your chest, with spirit vision, Yachai, from your third eye and your forehead. So you connect the wisdom of the stars with the heart of Chokuchinchai. And that creates the balanced vision. And it is with that balanced vision that you cull the field and determine what you're going to reinforce and what you're going to let go before you really commit yourself to serious action in the summer and fall. But for now, we're back at the beginning. We're back in tadpole energy. And so we'll do our journey from that place. We'll return to the field of your future, the garden of your becoming, and check in with the seeds we have planted there, and check in with these very early spring energies, and watch as the moons unfold. So does that sound good? Are we ready? Excellent. So as always, unless you're driving or performing some activity that requires your attention, settle in, calm your heart, slow your breath, and close your eyes. And if you are listening to this recording and while driving or doing the dishes or something, you will be able to follow along with the journey while remaining perfectly alert and aware of your surroundings. And if you can, gently close your eyes. And we begin where we always begin, with the image of the rose. How does your rose appear to you this evening? Is it bright and fresh? Or perhaps a little worn and tattered. If it's worn and tattered, that's because of the protection it has been affording you all this time. And when we are done, we will replace it with a bright, fresh, perfect new one. But right now, the one you have is perfect. And so we always check in. We never assume that our protections and our guides are rested and ready. Shamanism begins and ends with gratitude, and spring is an important time of gratitude. It's easy to tap into that gratitude when you see the frogs, when you see the flowers, when you see the warm spring rain. It is easy to be glad to be alive and to be grateful that no matter how hard your life was to get you here today, no matter how hard it might be tomorrow, right now, there are flowers on the trees, bees in the flowers, baby birds in their nest, and life is beautiful. And so we'll focus on connecting to that. We connected to unbridled passions in the winter. In the spring, we connect to unbridled joy, the joy of just being alive. Even though, in the immortal words of John Cougar Mellencamp, life goes on long after the joy of living is gone. But we can reconnect to that. And the spring moons are about reconnecting and remembering what it was like to be amazed by almost everything you saw. Remember how long the summers were when you were a kid? When school let out, it was an eternity before school started up again when you were in first and second grade. The summer was a lifetime. You can reconnect to that. You don't have to lose that energy. No matter how old you are, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how little time you have, you can connect to the beauty of the flowers and the spring and the joy of just being alive, even if it's only for a moment. So how does your rose appear to you now? Is it bright and fresh, or perhaps a little worn and tattered? Is it a rosebud, or is it in full bloom? What color is it today? Smell the beautiful fragrance. Reach out and touch the silky petals. Be careful of the thorns on the stem and the sharp, serrated leaves. And now we set the image of the rose aside for a moment and listen to the sounds in the room, the sound of my voice, the sound of your breath, the sound of your heart, the sound of the winds in the trees, the sound of the wind in the mountains, the sound of the waves on the shore, the water trickling in the stream, rushing down the river. We're going to have rushing rivers here shortly. I trust many of them already are. If you ever get the chance to go out to the rivers and the Cascades in the early spring, it's amazing. The rushing, ice-cold water. Exuberant racing to the sea. And in all of those sounds that you can hear clearly, can you also hear a sound that resonates with you perfectly? The sound of your true name. This may be your regular name or your full name, a nickname, a spirit name that you've used before, or a new name that has come to you just now. But there is a sound that resonates with you perfectly. And it sounds like rain or river or wind blowing through your soul, even if you're unable to leave the city. You can hear these sounds as though you were there. Now, turn your attention to the grounding cord. The grounding cord attaches at the base of the spine, the bowl of the pelvis, and extends through the floor into the soil, through the soil into the rocks, through the rocks into the bedrock, all the way to the center of the earth, the belly of Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. The grounding cord attaches at the base of the spine, the bowl of the pelvis, and extends through the soil into the rocks, through the rocks, into the bedrock, through the bedrock, into the warm red magma of the center of the earth, the belly of Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. Those of you who are working in the winter, notice how much more vibrant the earth energy is, how hot and warm the core earth energy is. Pachamama has been rejuvenated and is alive and is ready to fuel spring all over the earth. The energies of the earth are phenomenal. When I was young, 15, 16 or so, I was in California, up in the Sierra Nevada mountains, and we were up in a place called Mammoth at about 8,000, 9,000 feet. And there was a big earthquake, 6.0 earthquake, pretty big. Cars were bumping against the ground and windows broke. No serious damage. But we had three 6.0 earthquakes in the same day. So after the second one, we packed up and left. We packed up our stuff in the car and drove down the mountain. And when you're in the mountains near where the earthquakes were, the earth was jumping up and down, up and down, up and down. My brother was out hiking, and he said the rocks leaped off the hillside and into the road. Then hours later, we were miles and miles away from Mammoth, down in the valley below. And then that third earthquake came. And here we were far enough away down the valley that it was a gentle rocking from side to side. A little bit of up and down, but mostly side to side motion. And as I was standing in that parking lot, looking up at that mountain range, from one edge of the horizon to the north to the edge of the horizon to the south, those mountains were moving. And that was when it really dawned on me how powerful the earth is. When I was there, it was just the parking lot and the cars and the buildings that were jumping up and down. But when I was down in the valley and I could see these 10,000-foot mountains jumping up and down several centimeters, the power of the earth was plain to see. And I was amazed. And there's that much power in a blooming wildflower. The mystery and the power of life. They just discovered probably liquid water on a moon around Saturn. And the basic fundamental building blocks of the chemistry of life may exist on a moon around Saturn. And there may be enough warmth that it has a liquid ocean. And if it does, I'll bet there's life there. I'll bet there's life anywhere it could possibly find an inch of possibility. Life is awesome. Spring reminds us of that. And whatever our little lives and struggles may be, we are part of an amazing, beautiful, stunning adventure. And when we can learn to surf the energies of our lives and not fight the waves, learn to duck under the white water and ride it out, then we can enjoy the beauty and passion of life unfolding around us. As I said before, no matter how difficult our lives have been or may be right now, it is a miracle and it is stunning to simply be alive. So the grounding cord attaches at the base of the spine, the bowl of the pelvis, and extends through the floor, into the soil, through the soil, into the rocks, through the rocks, into the bedrock, all the way to the belly of Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. And having set the grounding cord, call your true name down the grounding cord and introduce yourself to Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. Call your true name and express your unreserved gratitude for all that you have received and all that you will receive. Every meal you've ever eaten, every breath of air you've ever taken, every glass of water you've ever drunk has been a gift from Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. having introduced yourself and having expressed your gratitude, it is now acceptable to release the dark, stale energies, the dark hucha that we all collect. Allow it to slip away, drain away, fall away, down the grounding cord, down to Pachamama, down to Mother Earth, where it is composted and refreshed and renewed. And as the old energies slip away and drain away down the grounding cord, draw up this warm red energy. It's like an artesian well this time of year. It's like jumping up your grounding cord. You couldn't stop it if you had to. It's a geyser and a gusher of warm, life-giving red energy coming up the grounding cord, filling your three energy centers, your lower energy center in your belly, your center of action and abundance, yankai, and your heart energy center in your chest, munai, filling to full to gently overflowing with the warm red energy of the earth, your third energy center in your forehead, yachai, the center of vision and wisdom, where you can learn to see what the eyes cannot see. All three energy centers becoming full to gently overflowing with the exuberant, warm red energy of Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. And as those energy centers become full to gently overflowing, more and more of the dark, stale energy simply slips away, melts away, drains away, falls away, down the grounding cord, down to Pachamama, down to Mother Earth, where it is composted and refreshed and renewed. Now open a small hole in the crown of your head and allow the energy of the moon and the stars and the four winds to come down, filling first your third eye, your yachai in your forehead, and then filling your moon eye, your heart center, with the silver energy of the moon and the stars and the four winds. And now invite that silver energy all the way down, pull it down, draw it down, gently, ever so gently, just invite it all the way down to the pelvis, all the way to the base of the pelvis, the base of the coccyx, the lowest part of your body, filling that lower energy center, filling your reproductive organs, filling your cleansing organs, filling your entire belly, the practical part of your body, where you digest and eliminate food and wastes, all becoming cleansed and purified and enhanced with exactly equal and opposite energies of the moon and the stars and the four winds and the earth, Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. Exactly equal and opposite energies mixing and spinning and swirling in your three energy centers. Place one hand on your belly and one hand on your heart and allow these two energy centers to come into communication so that your center of action can communicate with your center of compassion, so that your actions are tempered by compassion and your compassion and unconditional love is tempered by your need to act and be and do in the world. And as those two energy centers come into balance and communication, shift your hand so that one is on your chest and one is on your forehead. Allow these two energy centers to communicate with one another so that your center of vision is connected to your heart and your heart is connected to vision. The spirit vision of the moon and the stars and the four winds can be awfully harsh. It has nothing to do with human concerns. So we want to temper that with compassion and unconditional love. But unconditional love without proper guidance can lead us almost as far astray as anything else. So we need to temper our unconditional love with the vision and wisdom of the stars. Shift your hands again so that one is on your forehead and one is on your belly. And now your center of action and abundance is in communication with your center of vision and wisdom, so that you will learn to take wise action. And you will develop the abundance needed to fulfill your vision. And now rest your hands gently wherever they fall. And notice how centered you feel, how calm you feel. Notice that your three energy centers are radiating brighter and brighter, and more of the dark, stale hucha simply slips away, drains away, falls away, down the grounding core, down to Pachamama, down to Mother Earth. And now we can imagine ourselves traveling to the mountains here in the Pacific Northwest, the mountains of the Cascade Mountains. Wherever you are, there is a field or a mountain meadow awaiting you. It initially is in the physical world, but this is also a spirit field. So you're sitting there, and here we're initially sitting in the snows, because there's still snow in the mountains. But as the frog's return moon comes and becomes full, and then becomes new, the snow melts, and the grass begins to peek its heads up. The little bitty mountain flowers begin to burrow out through the snow first. The grass actually begins growing in the snow before it has a chance to completely melt. The wildflowers peek up through the first holes in the snow. At the very first opportunity they have to grow, they begin growing. Because for the wildflowers in the mountains, summer is awfully short. So as you sit there in this beautiful mountain meadow, you can see the snow melting and the wildflowers beginning to grow in the grasses. And you can see the little fox cubs coming out of their dens, and the little bear cubs and the little squirrels. The robins and the baby birds learning to eat and fly and feed. The frogs in the streams and the lakes, beginning first as tadpoles, then becoming frogs and hopping along. So as the first frog's moon becomes the second frog's return moon, you can see the baby animals coming alive and walking through the mountains. And we're low enough so that most of the snow has gone. There's still snow above us, but there's no snow where we are. And it's a warm, sunny spring day. And the deer and the elk are coming through. The foxes sneaking by. The squirrels and the chipmunks are burrowing and hunting for seeds. The bees are on the flowers. It is beautiful and wild. The wind is blowing in the trees. And we come to corn planting moon. And corn planting moon is equinox, the longest day of the year. And now almost all the snow is gone except for the mountain peaks. The wildflowers have passed and the grasses of summer have taken over the fields. The baby animals are adolescents. The incautious ones have been eaten by the owls and the hawks and the foxes. And that natural culling period of spring, the reason frogs lay thousands of eggs is because only a few of those many thousands will actually make it to the next year to lay eggs again. Mosquitoes lay millions of eggs because almost none of them will make it to the next generation. So that in nature, one part of spring is this riotous growth. But by the time you get to solstice, a lot of those animals, all of the early spring wildflowers, have died. They have lived their entire lives. And the residual life, the seeds of the flowers, the few animals that will live to mate in the fall, now have a chance to try and make it through the rest of summer. So that at the same time that spring is a time of riotous birth and growth and joy. It is also a time of sorting out. And in the natural world, that looks like one class of animals eating another. The herbivores eating the grass and the wildflowers and the bees collecting the sap and turning it into honey. And the foxes eating the squirrels and the pumas eating the foxes. That's life in the real world, in the natural world. But you can tap into that. You can feel that chaotic reassembly of life. In the very beginning, the first frog's return moon where we are now, the big winds moon that we just went through, the budding trees moon, all is possible. Anything could grow in your field. Anything could spring up. And as it does, we'll tend to it. And we will sort the weeds from the crop. And as I said, even some perfectly reasonable crop will be culled and tilled under, because that's appropriate. And we will, through the process of corn planting moon, sort out and clean out only that which will truly serve us through the long, vibrant summer leading to a strong harvest in the fall. So now, gently and in your own time, return back to your body. Wiggle your fingers and your toes. Keep your eyes closed for now. But return back to your body. Take a nice deep breath. Settle back in to your room. And with your eyes still closed, we return to the image of the rose. How does your rose appear now? Is it bright and fresh? Or perhaps even now it is still a little worn and tattered. Either way, either provide it with fresh new energy that you collected from this mountain meadow, or replace it, allow it to die its own time and go down the grounding cord and be replaced with a bright, fresh, perfect new rose. Either way, you now have the perfect rose for you at this time floating in front of you. This rose is your guard rose, your gift rose. And the symbolism of this rose is that it is a beautiful gift. It is a beautiful flower with a beautiful scent. And so that anyone who comes in contact with you, in person or over the phone or just because they're thinking of you, the first thing they will energetically see and know about you is that you have this beautiful flower floating gently in front of you. And you notice that it's a single rose and that it is not attached. It is not attached to you. It is not attached to the earth. So if you had a bush or something, allow it to shift and change a little. So that it's either been placed in a pot or it's been cut, but it's floating gently in front of you and it's not attached to anything. And the reason for this is, should that person thinking of you try and take something from you, either because they're poorly trained or perhaps they're a bit rude or greedy, all they will get is a handful of thorns and the rose comes away easily. Because it is not attached to you. It is not attached to the earth. It has been donated to you from the infinite energy of the heavens and the earth. And now, gently in your own time, open your eyes and return to the room. Become wide awake and aware of your surroundings. And even if you're going to bed shortly, you'll be wide awake until it's bedtime. And when bedtime comes, you will sleep well and you will dream well. If you have 3 stones that you're working with, take them with you. Place them on the bedstand or under your pillow. Hold them in your hands. I often sleep on my back with the stones on my chest. Every once in a while I wake up with having found them dropped onto the floor, but that's okay. But sleep with your stones tonight. Let them join you in dream time. Let them help you wander that spring meadow in the mountains so that you can connect and truly feel the vibrant possibilities of Frog's Return Moon. and we will work with this still, knowing that now is still new moon. So now we're at the new moon that's turning to frog's return. So the current energies, while we have all this vibrant energy, we're still in a quiet time. So we're still doing inner work. That's why we're doing dream work with the stones. And then in a couple of weeks, when the full moon comes, those stones will bloom and you'll begin to see the beginning seeds, the beginning growth in the field of your future, the garden of your becoming, the garden of your possibilities that we planted in previous work. So thank you for sharing this evening. Thank you for being on the call. Thank you for listening to this recording. Thank you for being a member of my IU. So there's New Moon Despacho is this weekend. And then the Full Moon Workshop and the Full Moon Despacho is a couple of weeks after that. So go to the website and you'll see the dates for all of that. And I look forward to working with you either in person this weekend in the one-on-one sessions or in the all-day workshop as a group. Spring is a wonderful time to be doing this work. Thank you for sharing it with me. Thank you for being here. Good night.
Good night. Thank you, Russell.
Thank you. Do you have any thoughts or questions?